Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. This is a special episode, so to speak. I will explain why coming up. In the meantime, do look for a video that I posted 10 days ago on YouTube. Just go to the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, and up at the very top, you will see logos for Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Tap or click on that YouTube button to go over to see what I created and posted, and feel free to give it a thumbs up and leave a nice comment. And anytime you want to have personal contact with me, you're welcome to write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account or send a private message through the Facebook page. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Sometimes in sports, a negative development can seem like the end of the world, as if things couldn't possibly get worse. A heartbreaking loss, a player suffering a season-ending injury, like San Francisco 49ers quarterback Trey Lance last weekend. Heck, a key player getting suspended and missing a big chunk of his team's games. Right, Cleveland Browns fans and San Diego Padres fans? In baseball, the Seattle Mariners are trying to make the playoffs for the first time in just over 20 years. Missing the postseason year after year is gut-wrenching, right? But in the Bible, we are reminded that in times of adversity, in the depths of our despair, God is there for us. Specifically, in the Old Testament, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9, quote, "If evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a parent coach, motivational speaker, podcaster, and licensed counselor with Families of Character, which equips parents to lead their children with confidence and courage. As a student athlete, she played both basketball and volleyball. She also holds the all-important roles of being a wife and a mother, and has thoughts about her experience at the gym and, quote, belonging to a team at home, end quote, as she has discussed on her podcast and as we will talk about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jordan Langdon.
Thank you, Bruce. It's an honor to be on your show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for making time to be here. And wow, I was reading some information about you in the lead up to today, and you have moved around a bit in your life. But let's start off first, though, with where you were born and raised, including the size of that household and, I'm guessing, the presence of the Catholic faith there.
Sounds great. I was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, and was raised in Crawford, Nebraska, so the very opposite end of the state from where I was born. I was raised in the northwest panhandle of the state, close to Mount Rushmore. And I grew up in a family of five, so there are three children, and I am the middle child. I have an older brother and a younger sister. My parents are still married, celebrated 50 years of marriage just recently.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And am I correct in assuming this was a Catholic household from the day you were born?
Yes, cradle Catholic. Grew up just two blocks from the Catholic church in our town of 1,200 people.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, living so close to your church, you presumably had the benefit of there being a Catholic school attached to, or no? And for that matter, how much did you or didn't you attend Catholic schools throughout all of your years of schooling?
Yes, that's interesting. Because our town was so small and our parish was so small, there was no Catholic school. And as a matter of fact, I think, yeah, the closest Catholic school was several hundred miles away from where I grew up. Yes.
So then over the course of your schooling, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, did you attend any Catholic schools?
I did not. I went to public school from kindergarten to my senior year at the very same school in our little town. And then I went on to the University of Nebraska for my undergrad, and I got my master's degree at the University of Texas at Arlington.
So then what did faith formation look like for you, be it CCD, be it your parents, be it some combination of those and or something else that I'm not mentioning?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's an interesting question just about religious education and catechesis and my parents. Being from such a rural area, we had very few resources. And so our religious education was lacking a bit. And as an adult, I'm catching up. You know, my kids are in Catholic school now, or we're in Catholic school, and I homeschool them now. And so I'm kind of learning that as an adult and going back through that. But when I was growing up, my parents were very faithful about bringing us to Mass every weekend. We never missed. And we did go to religious education on Wednesday evenings. And I think most of all, my parents just lived out their faith. You know, we spent a lot of time at our parish cleaning up the grounds and serving Mass. And my brother and dad are still a very big part of the parish and the music ministry. And so just being a very active part of our parish and making sure that we're integrating, you know, the what we're learning in Mass and through our religious education just out in the world and living in a way that is Christ-like and virtuous. And I'm very grateful to them for doing that, because that was a lot on them, not having quite the support of a Catholic school or religious education and a good catechism program. They had a lot of on their shoulders there.
And it's interesting because as you describe this small town, I'm thinking that you darn well better be at Mass every Sunday or people are going to ask where your family was.
Absolutely. I mean, there were probably only 30 to 40 families that attended our parish.
Wow.
And
yeah,
that might have been on Christmas.
Yeah, so you could be noticeable by your absence.
Absolutely.
Is everything okay? We didn't see you at Mass on Sunday. Oops.
That's right. It usually meant we were traveling if we weren't there.
Okay. Well, what about sports? I mentioned in the intro that you played basketball and volleyball. When and how did you start taking an interest in sports?
You know, just kind of the standard in our school was you started sports in about sixth grade. And so played through junior high and kind of got excited about volleyball and basketball in my high school years. And it wasn't too difficult to be on the varsity team. It was a D2 school. So I played varsity sports and I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed a hard workout. I enjoyed the camaraderie of a team and dabbled around a little bit in golf. I was on the men's golf team.
Wow.
For one season, and I ran track a little bit here and there, but really appreciated the team sports and especially basketball.
But in other words, this wasn't a case of your dad got you into sports or your older brother, because it sounds like the school very much fostered a spirit of athleticism.
Yes, very much so. We had a strong music program and the athletics were really a highlight for all students that attended.
Well, we're going to come back around to this later as it relates to your kids, but how serious were you about basketball and or volleyball as it relates to, for example, maybe having dreams of making the U.S. national team someday or anything like that? Was one or both of those sports all that you lived for or not necessarily?
You know, I would say not at all.
Hmm.
I never imagined myself playing sports beyond high school. That wasn't a goal of mine. Yeah, it's interesting to reflect on that. I'm not sure why. I practiced hard. I played hard. I loved it. But I just, in my mind, knew that that was the end for me after my senior year.
And if anyone is new listening to this show, thank you, first and foremost. And secondly, the reason I ask a guest that question from time to time is to see, were they worshiping their sport? Did they think that all they needed in life was to be successful in a particular sport, get the pro contract, and then they'll be happy? And oh, by the way, faith was in there somewhere on the list, maybe not second, maybe not third. And so you're hearing from Jordan that this was not a concern with her, but it's still something that we should be considerate of, especially those who are parents that are raising kids and listening to this show and trying to keep things in perspective, as is one of the pillars of my ministry. Jordan, tell us about the two coaches you had that obviously inspired you back then, because I know you still look back on them today and what they said back then.
Yeah, I had two coaches. Doug Hermson was our basketball coach, and then Marty Wood was our volleyball coach. And both of them just had a very unique way of coaching us women. They trained us hard and really helped us improve our skills and helped us come together as a team. What I walked away with was a message of just leaving it all out on the court, making sure that every game we left all of our effort out on the court. And in particular, our basketball coach would say, you know, there are a lot of kids your age that would love to be out here playing sports, and because of a disability, they're unable to. So I want you to play for that person. Put somebody in your mind and sacrifice, you know, do your best because someone else would love to be in your position and isn't able to. And so that just stuck with me over the years, and it's something that I call to mind every day when I'm at the gym myself doing a workout, just that I'm able to bring someone to my mind specifically and offer up a really hard workout and a lot of, you know, just physical suffering and sweat and sometimes wanting to throw up and just saying, you know, Lord, just give all this, you know, grace and healing to this person. So that was very influential for me.
Yeah, and even though you made clear to us that by no means were you attending Catholic schools, that sounds like a very Christian perspective. So whether your coach intended that or not, it was a great example to set for student athletes that this coach is saying, leave it all on the floor and not just we have to win, but rather the human side of it.
Right, absolutely. And the interesting thing about that message too, both of those coaches ended up having very major physical disabilities. And one of my coaches is now trying to recover from a major stroke, and he doesn't even have words anymore. He's nonverbal. And so it's been interesting too to see how student athletes that were coached by him are pouring into him now these days and kind of offering up their workouts for his healing. So that's been an awesome thing to witness and be part of too.
I want to back up to your having said that you were on the men's golf team, though. How was that? Because we're not talking about age here, but this was probably at a time when it was, I don't even want to say as widely accepted as it is now, because now they just flat out have a women's golf team. But how were you treated, do you think, looking back now?
You know, I didn't notice being treated really any differently. I never qualified for the meet. So at that age, I think I was in eighth grade or maybe seventh or eighth grade, I was just kind of tickled to be able to run around with a bunch of athletic boys, to be honest with you. So I think my intentions were in the wrong spot, but I ended up caddying most of the time, and that was perfectly fine with me. So.
Understandable. Understandable.
Yeah. Well,
folks, I do try to make clear as often as I can that this show is not about me. It's about you, the audience. It's about the guests and the witness that they are providing each week. And of course, it's all about glorifying God and bringing more people closer to Him. That being said, this is about as close as we're going to come to me being able to say that this is the birthday episode of Catholic Sports Radio, meaning not the show, but me, my birthday. This episode is being released on September 26th, and my birthday is this Wednesday, September 28th. Since you always hear me saying every week that this is a ministry for me and that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, which means that I otherwise have to try to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover the expenses associated with operating Catholic Sports Radio. If you'd like to send me a gift for my birthday, thank you so very much. And you can do so very easily by going to the show website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, and using the blue button that says Donate to CSR. You've heard me on past episodes, as recently as the last 2 weeks, actually, thanking folks who have sent me something as a show of support for all that I do here, past guests as well as listeners. And my birthday would be extra special this year if you would choose to join them and send me a gift that way too, which very much helps with the cost that I face in keeping Catholic Sports Radio going some 3.5+ years later. The online method is easy and secure, and you can put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. There's no list of preset amounts that you have to choose from, and you don't even have to wrap a present or figure out shipping. Although, if you are not comfortable with the online approach, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on how to send a birthday, how to send a check through the mail, as some others have opted to do instead. I'd love to have a belated birthday party on the air and thank by name anyone and everyone who sends a gift, meaning, with your permission, I'll happily say those names. Or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your gifts as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Jordan, let's really roll up our sleeves on all this family and team discussion. The way I see it, a head coach will talk with his or her assistant coaches, and they likely will have times when they're discussing players one at a time. This is what he's doing, she's doing, that they need to work on and come up with a strategy to go to that player with, knowing that they have the greater good of that athlete and the team at heart. Isn't that like two parents quietly talking about one by one their children?
It definitely is. There's so many parallels between a sports team and a family team. And in fact, I always say that our family is the most important team we will ever be a part of. And so it's so important to have well-equipped coaches who are, you know, positive. They are not willing to, settle for the status quo, but they have a real motivating energy about them and are on the same page. And so, yeah, I think what you said about coaches collaborating with assistant coaches and working together as a team just to coach their players in a common objective, whether that be winning or improving by, you know, a few points, that's what family life is all about.
Well, go ahead and talk about what I was alluding to in the intro about your being at the gym and belong to a team at home, because I listened to a recent episode of Jordan's podcast and the camaraderie aspect came through, the hugs, the receiving a family member when they come through the door. These brought to mind high fives or a pat on the back or a hug, celebrations after an important base hit or a touchdown or a go-ahead basket. I'm stealing your thunder, Jordan. Just share about all this with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, I belong to a gym that I go to, 5 days a week, and I was gone for 3 weeks. And I came back, and the warm welcome that I received, just this overwhelming welcoming committee at the door when I walked in, was just awesome. It just reminded me of the connection and the belonging that maybe I didn't even recognize when I was going each day. But being away and then coming back, it was just a delight to be greeted by a couple of the other members and Ida and Tim and Coach Scott, and just how they asked, how I was and what I was up to, and that they had missed my presence. And yeah, high fives and hugs and changing the music to the song that I liked best. It was just awesome. And so, on that podcast episode, I talk about how, are we welcoming our family back home when they come back from school or your spouse comes back from work? What type of, really warm welcome are we giving the most important players on our team? And so I really try to do that, intentionally on a daily basis, is to stop what I'm doing and really, greet my teenage son when he comes in after driving home from his school. He attends a Catholic school, high school here in the area. And then my husband as well, my little ones who I homeschool, they're 10 and 8. We try to, meet him at the door and welcome him in and take his bag and, ask him how his day was. And then just doing things, Bruce, I didn't even mention this to you, but, our family has done over 150 team huddles. So when you talk about a team and huddling up and kind of coming up with a game plan and getting together to figure out how you're going to work as an individual outside of the team practices to come together and give your best as a team, we do that every Sunday at our house in the evenings. We have a team huddle. And so that has been instrumental at just uniting us as a family and making sure that there's something on a monthly basis that we are striving towards. And that happens to be a particular character strength or virtue that we're working to improve upon. And so the team huddle has been, I would probably say, the number one most transformative thing in my marriage and family life.
Wow. And what does that actually look like? Is it, well, we're actually just sitting around the table eating dinner? Or is it, no, we literally put arms around each other's shoulders as though we're in a huddle? Is it, we're all just sitting in the family room? How do you structure that?
Great question. We have it every Sunday from 6:30 to 7, or sometimes it goes a little later than that. But we pick Sundays for a reason, because it's the Lord's Day, and you know, it's the day before the week starts, and we're all home. So it's important to pick a day that works when everybody's gathered together and can make this a routine. And we just gather in the living room, and we use our TV. We actually have a shared Google Calendar, like probably most parents do nowadays. And so we just launch our calendar up on the TV, and we open our meeting with a prayer, just an extemporaneous prayer. And Josh, my husband, will pick one of us to open, and then we recite our family mission statement. So we have a brief kind of 7-section mission statement that we have been reciting for the last 3 years every Sunday. And then we dive into the calendar. It's so important for families to be on the same page and know what's coming up over the next week. So we look at the family calendar day by day, and people kind of weigh in on their activities and what they might need to do to prepare, or who they need help from in order to make it a smoother transition for everyone. And then when we're finished with the calendar, then we hone in on that one particular character strength or that one virtue that we might be working on it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then
gotcha.
We kind of outline a particular thing that we can do each day over the next week until our next meeting, and then we're able to cheer each other on. But we do end our family huddles by piling our hands all together, and then we say, 1, 2, 3, Team Langdon! And so that's a fun way to end.
I like that.
Meeting.
I like that. And I like that visual that you also gave us about being at the gym and you coming back after having been gone for a while, because in your mind, it's probably a case of, I didn't really think that anybody would notice. And so as parents, if it's a case of noticing something that a child might not think is that significant, it's that much more of a bonding moment that the child is going to look at the mom or the dad who's acknowledging something they did and say, oh, I didn't think that you would really notice that. And so it's really kind of something that was beneficial for you to experience, because it probably helps you be an even better mother now.
You're right. That one experience just helped me bring it home, bring it back to the family, and figure out how I could, you know, replicate that for my own family members.
Yeah, and for those that didn't hear my conversation last week with Matt Hovind, go and listen to that, because we talked about something similar, which was, sure, of course, you're going to give a pat on the back to your son or your daughter when he or she does good in sports, but it's important to do that sacramentally as well as they're going through, assuming that they're at these ages, but you want to recognize them for something that they're accomplishing through the church, just in the way that you are athletically. Jordan, I think you and I are both doing the Lord's work in a similar manner, because just as I say that you don't have to be Catholic to listen to Catholic Sports Radio, you obviously are Catholic, yet Families of Character, the ministry and the podcast, are not Catholic focused and actually serve a general audience, but if one listens for it, they'll hear Christian values. Yes?
Yes. You know, one of our, you know, very intentional strategies with our podcast and our business is just to serve parents where they're at, to meet them in the trenches, and to, you know, communicate in a very natural way to them. And in our opinion, you know, it's very difficult to reach the supernatural without the natural first. And so that's what we're serving up at Families of Character is natural virtue and character development. And it's beautifully received by Christians, Catholics, and people who aren't believers right now at all.
Now clarify for me, I'm about to ask you a question, but at the beginning when I asked you about where you were born and raised, You talked about being born in one part of Nebraska and then growing up in another part. And I believe you also lived in Texas and you currently live in Denver. Did I leave any place out?
I think that sums it up. Yeah,
okay.
I started in Lincoln, Nebraska, and down to Texas for 10 years in Dallas, and then I've been in Denver for 12 years now.
Wow. Well, I bring that up because you are extremely active in your parish, and I wanted the audience to know where this is specifically, so Denver. But share with the audience about what church you're a part of and all that you have been doing there.
Yeah, so we're a part of Our Lady of Loretto Catholic Parish in Fox Field, Colorado, so it's just south of Denver. And, you know, when we came to the church 12 years ago, my husband and I just made a firm commitment. I think the second weekend we attended the church, they had their ministry fair. And we had one child at that time, and we said, let's just sign up for as much as we can because we just want to dive in and really get to know people at this parish. So I've served on the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which is a very comfortable place for me because I've been a social worker for 20 years. So it's serving the poor and doing home assessments and getting into the homes and the lives of people who are struggling financially. And so that was a great ministry I was part of. I've been part of an endow group with other women, and that was very supportive at a time where I had little kids and really loved that one-on-one time with the women. I was the lead for our Catholic school gala, raising $90,000 for the school that year, and that was a pleasure to do something different in that way too. And I currently serve as a Eucharistic minister, and I'm always willing to greet people at the door when people come to our church. So I don't know, there's probably more, but those are kind of the highlights of the time that we've spent here at Our Lady of Loretto. We live across the street from the church, so we love to ride our bikes over and go to adoration and say hi to Jesus and, you know, get our kids on the playground out there and just be an integral part of our Catholic community.
And this is amazing because there was another guest on the show who I don't remember who it was. I think they were based in the Northeast. They talked about also belonging to a parish called Our Lady of Loretto because I remarked that my parents were married in a church called Our Lady of Loretto and that I eventually attended Our Lady of Loretto when I first got married. And now here's Jordan saying that that's the name of the parish that she belongs to in Denver. So Jordan, in closing, you have children of your own that participate in sports. Does the Langdon family world revolve around sports? And what steps do you and your husband take to keep faith, sports, and everything else in their proper perspective?
That's funny. I know our lives definitely don't revolve around sports, but sometimes I will admit I question myself every once in a while when we're talking to our friends, to our parents, and they're running from here to there and signing up for the next competitive sport and go, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the right thing? No, our oldest is a junior at a Chesterton school here in Denver, and they have almost like a rec league basketball team, and so he participated in that last year and enjoyed it, but isn't quite sure he's going to do it again this year if they have it. And our son Lincoln is 10 and he is a wrestler, and he also, you know, plays recreational soccer and flag football for a Catholic sports team here in town called Highlight Catholic Ministries. And my daughter does gymnastics, and so it's very much just recreational sports for us. But I think what we love about sports in that way is just having really great coaches that, you know, pray with the kids before the games. And I know one of the coaches in the Catholic baseball team really reminds the boys that, listen, our main job is to get our brothers to heaven. And so when he's talking about hitting the ball and getting your brother from second to home, he's making an analogy that, you know, it's very important as a team that we try to get our people to heaven. And so we like to find those types of teams as often as we can. And when we don't, then we do a little coaching at home if we need to, following a loss or, you know, depending on how coaches handle wins and losses. We just take that on as our responsibility to educate them about how to handle these things.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And how long have you and your husband been married for?
We have been married 18 years just
Wow.
this September.
Wow. Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, Jordan, it's been wonderful having you on the show. God bless you and your family, and thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
It's my pleasure, Bruce. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And folks, this is one that we've not done before, but as a nod to what Jordan just finished in closing there, we're going to close this week with one called A Parent's Prayer Before a Game. And so let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Strong and faithful God, as we come together for this contest, we ask you to bless these athletes, our children. Keep them safe from injury and harm, instill in them respect for each other, and reward them for their perseverance. Lead us all to the rewards of your kingdom, where you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to my birthday episode. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.